This is the Trending Mobile Technology, episode 91, hosted proudly here on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. And welcome back to another round, ladies and gentlemen, right here on TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. This is Trending Mobile Technology, and as always, I'm your mobile host, Hector the DJ. Really quick, before we get into the really big thing of things, remember the name, Hector the DJ, because you can find it at gmail.com, you can find it on Twitter, you can find it on Google+, and you can find it on Hangouts, the newly updated application in the Googleverse. More on that as we get in there. Jumping right into it, folks, I've been catching a lot of fire this week over opinions of episode 90. Did a little bit of reaching out to some people concerning a couple stories that I produced, and I did get some feedback. More on that once we actually get into the mailbag. Now, jumping right into it, Google I.O. earlier this year, they made a great big old ruckus because they released a new project that they referred to as Project Silver. Now, there wasn't too awful much information that was brought out about it, with the exception of the fact that it was going to have potential to replace Project Nexus, and it was going to be assisting other countries getting cellular technology and cellular phones. The short answer is it was Project Nexus for poor people. Google released a press release to Ars Technica last week, dated 17 September, coming out citing, quote, Android Silver was supposed to be high-end stock Android phones into the hands of users, similar to what Nexus is. Now, later on, they released the same another one, citing that, quote, Android Silver program is reportedly dead. Now, due to some movements and some reassignments within the Googleverse, things have kind of moved around to where it's a point to a set that Project Silver doesn't seem to be on the forefront of everybody's mind as it used to be. Now, Project Nexus, on the flip side, all the people who supported Nexus, all the people who were excited about Nexus, all the people who wanted Nexus to do something really big, they were in outrage concerning this. I myself have gone on the books personally, citing that, quote, Nexus can't go away. But they were also, Google was also in the position of making themselves move forward to get Nexus and Google Play editions. And see, there's still that kind of contrast between the two. Separation. Project Nexus, Google Play edition. What's it going to be? What's going to be worse? How is it going to progress as life continues to move forward? So it looks currently like Project Silver is getting ready to be put either on hiatus or shut down completely. Now, more news on Project Nexus in this same show for the simple fact that Project Nexus looks like it's turning out to be a good thing for 2014. More on that once we actually get there. New distribution numbers are out. I haven't done these in quite a while for the simple fact there hasn't been too awful much to report, except KitKat is just shy of the 25% mark in saturation. We worked so hard to get Jelly Bean up to over 50%, and it is still there. Froyo is less than 1%. Gingerbread is just shy of 12%. Ice Cream Sandwich is just shy of 10%. And Kit Kat, as I said, getting to just shy of 25%. Now, what does this mean? For years and years and years and years, Apple's biggest play, matter of fact, they referred to it as a, quote, toxic hell stew, unquote, referring to the Android fragmentation distribution. Well, being open source, of course, we're going to run into things like that. If we were control freaks like Apple, yeah, sure, we could have come down and make a citation like that. However, here's the problem that we're running into with Apple. Well, hold on one second. All right, so Apple wants to come down on Google for being a toxic hell stew in that fragmentation is a big thing. Well, number one, it's not Google's problem. Number two, it's the OEM's problem. Why? Because you get people like Samsung and HTC and Verizon and AT&T and T-Mobile. And everybody's got to put their frickin' sauce on the operating system. My Nexus 7 is up to date. Why? Because it is a Nexus project. All right? My Note 2 is up to date. Why? I'm rooted in ROM. Should I have to worry about that? No. Samsung should be able to get off of their asses and get this stuff done and ram it out. I don't want all the extra crap. For months and months and months, I've argued and ranted and railed and fought and dug and just been, ugh! Because the Samsung sauce is so annoying to me anymore. TouchWiz, can't stand it. Can't stand it at all. I flashed a new ROM the other day, as a matter of fact, and with the impression that, quote, new TouchWiz is so much better. Folks, it's still crap, okay? Despite what everybody says about how it's so much nicer and quicker and leaner, and it's getting better, it's still TouchWiz. It's still crap. I still can't stand it. And once again, I am off with TouchWiz, back onto my Google Experience Launcher, and moving forward. Now, Apple. Getting back to Apple. Sorry about that. A little bit of a tangent. Coming back. Apple. They continually go against Google for fragmentation. They don't realize that it's not Google's problem. I mean, yeah, sure, there's things going on here and there, but I mean, if you have the number one distributed operating system in mobile technology, everybody's going to want to make sure that they get a piece of the pie. Everybody's going to want to make sure that they get their sauce in there, aren't they? So, Samsung has to put their sauce on, and Verizon has to put their sauce on, and AT&T has to put their sauce on, and Sprint has to put their sauce on, and T-Mobile has to put their sauce on, and let's see here. Oh, HTC has to put their sauce on, and LG has to put their sauce. Okay, everybody cannot just take the operating system and roll it out. It doesn't work. Unless you have a Google Play or a Google Experience device or a Nexus device, you're not going to have that issue. And this is the same camp that I'm getting into. I wasn't in this camp 2 years ago, initially. I was an advocate for Samsung because they were, I thought that they had a really good thing. And don't get me wrong, they do. But for an individual like me, Samsung is no longer, I'm no longer the poster child for Samsung. Okay? I'm still a poster child for Google. Okay? More on that here in a minute. But Apple fails to understand that with two operating system releases a year, this year might even be three, I'm not quite sure, because they came out with L, they're going to come out with 5.0, and perhaps there's rumor that sometime early 15 they're going to come out with M. No word yet as to confirmation, but we're looking at two major releases. Now, Samsung, the Note 2 is still back in a 4.2 build. And that's on account of Samsung, okay? According to Samsung Mobility, we appreciate the fact that you are striving to improve, but unfortunately, at this time, we do not have blah, 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 blah. Stroke, 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 yank, yank. Uh-huh, right. I've been in contact with Sam Mobility for... Now, granted, I haven't been on stock Samsung since about a day after I got my Note 2. To be completely honest, I might have made it a day before I had it rooted and ROMed. But Samsung, you know, there's still some Note 2s that haven't gotten 4.4. And now that it's up to 4.4.4, they're still on 4.4, 4.4.1, maybe even 4.4.2. I don't know. But majority of Samsung devices, don't get me wrong, they are getting up there. But the problem that they're running into, A, Knox. B, the Samsung sauce. TouchWiz. Ugh. Okay? I mean, that's just all there is to that. So, this is doing nothing but giving hold to Apple and their argument concerning the toxic hellstew that Android is in. It's not Google's fault. It's not. It's manufacturers. Okay? Now, granted, Google can't really have control over this, as it is open source and they just push out the operating system. I mean, it's like Microsoft, similar to Microsoft. When they were in their heyday, with all the operating systems, okay, desktop computing, etc., what were they doing? They could push out an update, but they couldn't necessarily dictate what computer went out with what service pack. I mean, yeah, sure, Windows XP has Service Pack 3 now, all right? There were computers shipping with Service Pack 2. Now, understand, there was an update that was waiting for the customer as soon as they got everything booted up. Unfortunately, it's not that simple with this because Google can have the update there ready, willing, able to go. But the manufacturers like Samsung, HTC, LG, and the like are saying, no, 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 you can't do that because we want to stick it to the customer and make sure that our sauce gets on there. Anyhow, moving on. Apple has been on Google for I don't know how long concerning the toxic hell stew of fragmentation. A story coming in from Ars Technica as well concerning the Apple camp. iOS 8 on the iPhone 4S. Performance is a problem. Okay, now, while Apple rails on Google concerning operating system and fragmentation, okay, that's fine. Don't get me wrong. Apple makes a good product. And some communication from Obi-Wan Jabroni here shortly concerning Apple products in the Apple press release from a couple weeks ago. But the problem that we're running into right here with iOS 8 is backwards compatibility. Now, granted, you're going to be missing features. That's a given. That's been going on for years since the days of, I believe, the iPhone 3. When the iOS 5 or 6 might have been coming out and backwards compatibility was a problem. Unless you got the newest best iPhone, you weren't going to be able to get all of the features. And this particular one, if you're running iOS 8 and you try and put it on an iPhone 4S, you're going to run into a problem. For example, missing AirDrop, Touch HD, handoff, and many of the OpenGL supportings are missing, which we get that. But there's another problem, performance issues. iOS 8 isn't necessarily as lean as some people would like to convince. Many individual users have taken Safari, the camera, settings, mail, messages, calendar, and a cold boot and cited the following on an iPhone 4. When utilizing iOS 8. Now understand, these are iOS 7.1.2. So that's where these numbers are coming from. On Safari, an individual browse took 1.25 seconds to load a page in its entirety. On iOS 8 was 2.16 seconds. Now that might not be too awful big of an issue, but if you think about it, from a cold boot, iOS 7 took 36.4 seconds, while iOS 8 took 39.8 seconds on iPhones, okay? Now, I can understand the newer operating system. It's going to take up more resources. It's going to do more stuff. It's got more stuff to take care of. I mean, if you just look at the specs on the iPhone 6, for more information on that, go back to last show, episode 90. If you just look at the specs, you can see, it's a neater phone. It's cool. It's got more stuff going on. All in all, the question is asked, should I upgrade? And with the resounding reply, the masses have said, yes, you should upgrade. Why? Because it's an iPhone 4S. It's 2 years old. Average life expectancy of a technology mobile cellular device is 2 years old. 2 years. You get past 2 years, good luck. Don't get me wrong. Good luck. You're supposed to skip a generation. Get an iPhone 4, skip the 5, get the 6. Get the 6, skip the 7, get the 8. Get the 5, skip the 6, get the 7. All right? Note series, same thing. I got the 2, skip the 3, get the 4. Now, am I going to get the 4? No. But you get the idea. Skip a generation, get the next one. Why? Why not? 2 years, right? You skip a generation, that's going to put you at 2 years. Moto X. Got the first one. A lot of people are saying, might be kind of cool. The next generation Moto X isn't going off as big as they thought it would. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still a cool device and it still looks neat and nifty and the specs are there, but hey, I don't know. I gotta see what the specs are for the Nexus before I pull the trigger. It looks like Project Aura isn't gonna do what I thought it would, as much as I really would have liked it, but I am looking to Project Nexus for my next mobile device, my next cell device. So the Moto, you know, different things going on from there, but back up. Finishing up with the iPhone, should you upgrade? Yes, because it's going from an iPhone 4S. Yes, you're going to have problems with the operating system. Yes, there's going to be difficulty, but from a hardware stance, it's time to upgrade. Unless you know how to maintain your resources to an expedient level, you should upgrade every 2 years. Skip a generation. I'm not saying you have to go get every single one of them. Now, I've never, ever been an advocate for upgrading your device once a year. I haven't. I mean, even back in the days when things were still flip phones and sliders and things like that, I still was an advocate of every year. It would have been nice. There was always a phone that came out that I was really tempted to get, but it just never really made that much sense to me. So once again, tried and true system, buy the device. If you like it, skip a generation, get the next one. iPhone 4S, you skip the 5, get the 6. All right, it's time. The hardware's outdated. The warranty's up. Yeah, sure, it might work, but I'll tell you, you're going to be losing a lot of performance. Okay, it's 2 years old. It's time to upgrade the device. Despite what anybody says, thinks, or feels, there's plenty of recycle programs that are out there that you can use, or you can take the technology-induced approach that I take and just turn it into a glorified MP3 player. I mean, there's plenty of other options that you can take as well concerning that. Now, Amazon came on the books earlier, and they came out and they have updated their tablet line. And I'm not quite sure what to think about that, for the simple fact that the tablet line, despite what many people say, think, or feel, pros and cons both ways. But remember, this is Amazon. All these tablets are going to run with the Fire OS. Okay, they're all going to include Firefly. And despite the less than stellar results from the Fire Phone, Amazon is still going to continue to try and promote themselves. First device we're going to talk about is the Fire HD 6. This is a 6-inch HD display, Wi-Fi, front and rear cameras, 8 or 16 gigabyte sizes. You've got a 1.5 gigahertz quad-core processor, 6-inch HD display, lots of digital content. Of course, it comes with the Kindle Unlimited, as well as a year subscription of Amazon Prime. Can't talk today. Comes in black, purple, white, yellow, and blue. And all that is there. Next tablet that they came out and they decided to redo was the Fire HD 7. $139. Same colors. You are looking at a quad-core 1.5 for the HD and 3X graphics, 7-inch HD display, front and rear cameras, as well as all the pre-mentioned Amazon products. Third device is the Fire HD X 8.9, coming in 16, 32, or 64 gig for $379 respectively, with Prime included. Here's the one that caught me. 8 meg rear-facing Firefly and Mayday compatible 2.5 gigahertz quad-core processor, extremely light, 13.2 ounces. Amazon is citing that their device is, quote, 20% lighter than the iPad Air. It's got an exclusive 8.9-inch HDX display, 30% more pixels at a 2560 by 1600, giving you a 339 PPI if you are interested, as well as the Kindle Unlimited. Now, Amazon got so bold as to even release a tablet for the kids. Fire HD Kids Edition. This is $149. Comes with a one year, no question asked, warranty, or a 2 year, no question asked, warranty. Also includes a kid-proof protective case. Comes in 8 gigabyte sizes in 6 or 7 inch screens. This is a direct competitor to the Newbie, or Nubby, whatever you call it. And this is it's a tablet, not a toy. They go on the record citing that a couple different times. It's got a quad-core processor built into it. It's been ruggedized for kids with all the parental controls that anybody could ask for. Also comes with a year of Prime, coming in blue, green, and red. Two more devices, folks, and then we'll get into some breakdowns concerning this. Next thing Amazon decided to update was their Kindle. This is a $79 device, also including a Prime subscription, touchscreen display, double on-device storage to hold thousands of books. Yes, thousands of books. It's only Wi-Fi, folks, but it does have a 20% faster page turn processor. Now, question, if I'm going to buy an electronic book, why would I be concerned about watching the pages turn? I mean, really? Make it a huge PDF. That way I can just scroll top to bottom. I'm not concerned about turning a page on an electronic book. Now, pump the brakes. Some people get on me and say, Piper, you're getting a little, some people, they like the tactile experience. Okay, I get that. I recognize that 100%. One of my professors is the exact same way. I explained the lifestyle that I'm trying to evolve to, a change over to, support, things like that. She just kind of looked at me and said, you're a better person than I am. Mind you, this professor is also younger than I am. Number two. The electronic book isn't for everybody. I get that. Okay? Some people, they got to feel that paper. They like the paper feel. They like the paper smell. Okay? Some people do. That's cool. Sorry, I don't need 50 pounds of paper on my back while I'm walking across campus. I'm 40 years old. I'm too old for that. Number three. Electronic books. Okay? We've all used PDFs. We've all used Word documents. We've all used spreadsheets, all these things that we keep track of on our computer, on our tablet, on our laptop, on our phone, etc. What is a concern turning a page on an ebook? What does it matter? Doesn't bother me one bit. Matter of fact, I sit there and look at that and think, how many system resources are you consuming with that page turn? It annoys me. It bothers me. That's just me, though. Okay? That's just me. Comes with Kindle Unlimited. And I don't know, it looks kind of cool, but it's just an updated ebook reader. The one that turned my head and got my attention was the Kindle Voyage. It is cited as, quote, next generation Paperwhite display, highest resolution, highest contrast, new adaptive front light, comes with Wi-Fi or Wi-Fi and free 3G, folks. That means you'll never be without your books. Now, you know, 6 one way, half dozen another. It's got that 300 PPI display. It's got re-imaged page turns, and I've already ranted about that a little bit. It's got a new front light so that you're not straining your eyes. That e-ink is supposed to be readable, low battery draw, all that kind of good stuff. Good for backlight. Read it in the sun, things of that nature, and all that kind of stuff. So it's got that e-ink. It's also thin, super, super thin. I don't even have the measurement for thinness on this, but they do cite that it is the thinnest that's out there. It's also got a flush front, which to me, I look at and say, I need to put a case on that for the simple fact I'll scratch the screen, but that's just me. You know, just because it's me doesn't mean that it's anybody else. Of the ebook readers, if I wasn't already content with the ecosystem that I'm in, I might be willing to drop some extra money on this Kindle Voyager. Now, granted, yes, I'm an Amazon supporter. Yes, I buy from Amazon occasionally. They don't always have the best price, okay? That's just the bottom line. They don't always have the best price. But, you know, I do enjoy Amazon products. The fact that it does come with an Amazon Prime subscription, I mean, that's kind of cool. But it's just an oversized book. I've got a tablet for that already. I've got a phone for that already. I can already consume that information on something else. Now, for those playing the home game, the Fire HDX 8.9 Wi-Fi, 16, 32, and 64 gig sizes for $379. Obviously, somebody took this device and they put it against a Nexus just to see if it would hold up. Now, granted, the screen size is one thing that's going in favor of Amazon. Operating system and updates is something going in favor of the Nexus. But all in all, it's a reasonable tablet. I'm not a big fan of the Fire OS. If you are one of those, if your mom or your grandma or somebody that you know is immersed in the Amazon ecosystem, one of those people that sat back watching the infomercials and the YouTube clips and things like that when the Fire Phone was on its upswing and went, ooh, that looks kind of cool. This device would be for them, okay? Now, granted, the Fire Phone came and went. It was worse than a flash in the pan. I mean, I don't even think it had its day of glory. A release date? I'm not even sure that it broke top 10, to be honest. Matter of fact, it didn't break top 10. They said, oh yeah, we've sold these many. Yeah, sure you did, but how long has it been? And after that, it was mentioned, it was released, and we haven't said anything else about it. So obviously, either AT&T's having problems, or Amazon's having problems with this. Not quite sure which, but with the new tablets that have come out, these are in time for Christmas. And the 8.9, if you have an individual who is that immersed, I mean, it's got the Mayday. Okay, it's got an 8-megapixel rear shooter for 720p. So those of you who like to take pictures with your tablets, you can. Okay, those of you who want to go out to your kids' choir display or some type of thing that's going on at school, you can pull out your huge tablet and use that to film. That way everybody sitting behind you can't see what's going on. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I go there? I most certainly did. Yes, slightly annoying. You've got a phone. Use it, folks. And most of the time, the specs on your phone are better than it is on your tablet. Sorry. All right, so the 8.9, it's there. Out of the devices that they all have their place. Don't get me wrong. All of the new Amazon tablets and devices that they just released, they have their place. They have in position. They're getting ready for Christmas. They're getting ready to gear up. They're getting ready to do what they need to do. They're getting ready to roll out and getting ready to get into the hype. So they want to make sure that everything's out there so everybody knows what's going on. Maybe do a few pre-sales. Maybe get some of these things out in people's hands before the holiday season gets into full swing. I get that. I do. Really, I do. Now, do I know anybody that says, oh, I got to have it? No, I don't. Seriously, I don't. But if this were a device that were to wind up in my hands, not saying that it would, but if this were a device that were to wind up in my hands, I would be the type of guy that would take it, I would put it on my Linux box, I would root it, I would ROM it, and turn it into something else. Why? Fire OS doesn't excite me. Not in the least. I don't care about Firefly. I don't care about Mayday. I don't. Even the consuming of information and the products and the media with Prime, yes, I do have a Prime account. Do I care about all the extra stuff in Fire OS? Not really. Nope, I'm perfectly happy in my Google experience where I'm at. So last week, the Moto X came out, and J.R. Raphael, an individual who I still follow, and I enjoy his reading, came out with a new article, The New Moto X Versus the Original. Is it worth the upgrade? And he went through and he talked about the size, talked about the screen, talked about the style. He talked about the camera, more on performance, battery life, bells and whistles. Upgrade up or no? It's not a must-have, folks. I went over this. I've, I was on this earlier in the show, where I said, buy your device, skip a generation. I don't support individuals who go through and they got to have it every year. No, you don't got to have it. I mean, yeah, sure, if you want to waste your money and do what you got to do, okay? But he did talk about the size, talking about increased smaller, you know, since the M8. It feels good in the hand, feels a little bit better, but, you know, hey, it's not that big. Screen size, 5.2 inches versus 4.7 inches. Let's not forget, Moto 360 compatible and Moto Hint compatible. More information on the Moto Hint here on the same show shortly. Yeah, sure, it's got 1080p versus 720. Is it a selling point? You have to make the judgment call on that. Customizability, you still have that ability there, you know, the wood backs and all that other kind of good stuff. Once again, that's not, it's not a selling point for me. Cameras are about the same, okay? Little things here and there, but nothing too awful significant. Overall battery life, yeah, the second gen is better. The original generation, but overall significance, I mean, you could still get another year out of that Moto X, to be completely honest. You get all the extra sensors, you get the supercharging, you get the extra speakers and stuff like that. 15 minutes for 50% charge. If it's that important to you, go out sit in a car for 15 minutes. Or carry one of those battery packs around with you. I mean, it's not a high selling point for me again. But once again, this goes back to my previous argument of, do we need to upgrade our device every year? Yes, no. No, we don't. Now, there's going to be those people that are out there that, yes, they have to upgrade their device every year. Realistically speaking, practically speaking, honestly speaking, do we have to? No, we don't. In this particular case, not too big of a selling point for the Moto X first generation versus the Moto X second generation. Could I encourage anybody to upgrade from generation 1 to gen 2? No. Why? I say it plenty of times. If you buy a device, find the one that you like, skip a generation. Okay? Am I going to be upgrading my Nexus 7 anytime soon? Probably not. Why? Because I like the form. It's good looking. I'm looking at going to Project Nexus for my next cell phone. Am I going to upgrade that every year? Doubtful. Now, they went from 5 to 6. It looks like they've skipped a generation on the 10-inch. And then all the silver stuff came out. So I don't know where Nexus is going. But it is looking like Nexus is going to be... It's going to be something interesting. I mean, that there's plenty of leaks that are coming out. Rumored that Motorola is going to produce this one. Benchmarks are looking pretty good. Looking clean, lean. 1081 versus 2714. So, you know, it's looking like the new Moto X is going to be pretty good. The new Nexus is going to be pretty good. Currently classified as Google Shamu, killer whale. Android L is supposed to be the operating system unless they come out with 5.0 sometime between now and then. It's kind of the Qualcomm Snapdragon 805, the 300 megahertz processor with the Crake 2649, which is top of the line. I mean, it's not like the top highest, but I mean, it's pretty decent. You're looking at a 1440 2560 pixel screen, 5.2 inches, 2.1 megapixel shooter in the front, 13 in the back, 3 gigs of RAM, overall specs, high benchmarks. Battery life is still in limbo. I have a feeling that they're going to be wanting to combat the Moto X, but as the Moto X and the Nexus are supposed to be both coming out of the Motorola camp this year, haven't fully decided how I feel about that yet. Motorola is going to be picking up both of these, and I don't know. This is looking a little weird. It's starting to look a little wonky for me. Haven't fully decided what I think about the entire situation yet. The Model X second generation. Now, for years, people wanted Nexus to come out of the Motorola camp. I mean, it was in the Google back pocket for a while, right? It was owned by Google for a while, right? So, then there was the whole preferential treatment thing and all that kind of crap. And now that Google has sold Motorola, they got the patents that they wanted. They sold it. Now Motorola says, oh yeah, we're going to come out with the new Nexus. Just after they come out with the Moto X. Two major projects coming out of the same manufacturer, I think could prove beneficial for Motorola. I mean, don't get me wrong. The last press release they had, I dogged the crap out of it. But I have had some enlightenment. Remember, folks, just because the words come out of my mouth doesn't mean that it's right. I was dogging the hint pretty significantly, okay? And then I received an email from an individual citing that it is the Moto hint, despite the fact that it only lasts about 4 hours, it does have a personal sound amplifier built into it. What is that? It's a hearing aid, folks. So individuals in the medical field are looking at this and going, wow, yay! Because people who have problems hearing, instead of going out and spending thousands of dollars on a hearing aid, they can go out, spend a couple $100 on this, and utilize it instead. Now, upsides, downsides. Has it changed my opinion on this device? Yes, it has. Is it for me? No. Just frankly speaking. However, there is a place for the Moto Hint out there for people who need it. I mean, if you look at anything, anybody can want or need or find a use for anything in the technology market today. Can I find a use for the Moto Hint in my life? No. But, in the medical community, the Moto Hint has a place. And that makes it worthwhile. Now, yeah, sure, do that. Should it be able to hold up to an entire day? Should it be able to, you know, have quick charging or things of that nature? What do you want to do? $500 on two hearing aids to make it through the entire day? $3,000 on one hearing aid to make it through a couple of weeks? I look at it from the point of view and say, hey, it works. People in the medical community, they're smiling about this because it is designed to assist those with hearing issues. And that, overall, is a good thing. Now, I wanted to get to this last week, and I just completely ran out of time. I'm doing everything I can to keep my shows under an hour and a half. Okay, since it's just me, I'm sure that after a while, my voice gets really grating on some people. So I'm trying to keep my shows under an hour and a half. And with the Apple release and the Sony release and everything like that, I just plain ass ran out of time. So I wasn't able to get into this. Obi-Wan Jabroni and I, we've talked about watches for a while. And knowing that Apple flipped the script on us concerning the Apple Watch versus the iWatch, I sent him an email. I was like, okay, spill it. I know you've got an opinion. What? Because just like me, I'm sure Obi-Wan Jabroni, despite the streaming issues and all the other things going on, I'm sure he was listening to the press event with rapt attention, either listening or watching in some way, shape, or form. He says, quote, to be honest, I think we're very early in wearable technology. With all these devices, not just Apple's version, I'm sorry, but they all, or most of them, look like a Casio calculator watch from the 80s. I think in 5 years' time, we'll see the product category go sky high. I think we'll see watches that aren't dependent on owning the phone itself, and they can work separately. What I'm saying is, I'm not really impressed with Apple's offering either. Sure, they're doing something different with materials and software, but it comes at a price. A price that I am not willing to pay right now. And we all know with Apple and any other tech company, more generations of this product will be released next year and the year after that. Another issue I have, especially with the Apple Watch, is when Steve Jobs was CEO, he liked to keep things simple. If you looked at the product page and says, view all 10 models of the watch, what are you telling me you have different models of each of the three you have right now? This isn't Apple. I was quite confused because if you buy the sports edition of the watch, do you get the fitness app for that version? Very confusing indeed. this isn't what Apple usually does. Don't get me wrong. I'm not hating on the product. I think it's a neat idea, but it's very early in its infancy right now. I think Apple should have just held off for a few more years. Seeing Tim Cook getting excited about it was great, though. I did feel that maybe he's moved on from the Jobs era, but still paid a little tribute to him when they put on and one more thing up on the screen. I thought it was a great nod of appreciation to the man. Unquote. Obi-Wan Jabroni, thank you very much. I agree. I've had some interaction with Mr. Old School on Twitter concerning wearables. He agrees it's too early. It took me some time to get myself into the mentality of, well, everybody's complaining about it. Well, yeah, everybody's complaining about it because it's too early. Now, Mr. Old School chipped in on this concerning wearables, and he said, quote, the Apple Watch is the nicest wearable I've seen yet, but still too bulky. Excited for the future, though, which I can agree. I support 100%. I mean, wearables are getting to a place. Yeah, sure, they had a rocky start. Everybody said, oh, Pebble, yeah, get behind that. Kickstarter, off we go. Move, move, move. Get her done, yeah. And then Samsung started their thing. And I still think that Samsung, the big bracelet thing, looks dumb as hell. But, and then Apple. Everybody said, when Apple comes out with the wearable, it's going to work. It's going to be sexy. It's going to, ooh, yeah. And everybody had such a hard-on for it. Then everybody said, oh, yeah, Moto 360. Yeah, yeah. And everybody had such a hard-on for that. And, you know, folks, everybody is setting their standards way too high in this wearable market. Everybody's got their expectations way too high in this market. Everybody wants way too much. I think we just need to sit back. Yeah, sure. Wearables are a definitive step. Wearables are a definitive advancement in the technology. But are they a requirement right here, right now? No. But they do require patience. I've been reading and listening to people just dogging on the Moto 360. Oh my goodness, we waited for so long and it's a piece of crap. And the Apple Watch, oh my goodness, we thought it was supposed to have this and that and this and that and this and that, and it's nothing but a pile of crap. Folks, it's the first iterations. We're not even a full 2 years into Android Wear yet. Okay, people shit on the Pebble when it first came out for the first, 2 years, all the way up until Pebble Steel. There's still people saying that they prefer their steel over other things. LG G Watch R. I mean, folks, as with every technology, it's a progression. It's a step. You're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to understand a little bit that not all these things are going to be perfect fresh out of the gate. Apple Watch versus iWatch. Everybody had a great big old conniption over that. But think of it this way. This year, I mean, don't get me wrong. Every wearable that comes out, there's always going to be some guy that buys it. Always. There's going to be at least one person that buys it. And they're going to love it or they're going to hate it. Actually, two people. Two different types of people are going to buy these devices. The ones that got to have it and the ones that want to check it out to make sure that it works right. And there's going to be two types of people out there in that market. There's going to be those that love it and those that hate it. All right? Those that love it, those that hate it. I mean, it's just, that's the way it works out. You're either going to love these things, you're going to hate them. Unfortunately, there's a no in between. But I can respect the opinion of not only Mr. Old School, but also Obi-Wan Jabroni and the many other people who have sent me emails throughout the past couple weeks. It's a progression, okay? When wearables first came out, I was like, ooh, yeah, that would be nice to get one. Matter of fact, my lady said she was going to get me one for Christmas last year. And I told her no. I said, don't. A, I don't need it. B, yeah, sure, I want it, but not yet. That's one of those things where I can sit back, I can be patient, I can wait to see what's going to happen, because as time progresses, it is going to improve itself. It's going to get better, folks. It's going to get there eventually, but it's not there yet. And it's going to be exciting to see what happens. I mean, people are still, well, not still. People are dumping on the Moto 360, okay? We knew that. Moto 360, it came, people set the bar way too high, okay? And I haven't read an article yet that has these exact words. Everybody's just dogging it like you wouldn't believe. Oh, the Moto 360, we waited so long and such a disappointment. Oh, the Moto 360 looks like a flat tire. Oh, it looks like it needs to be run over. Oh, it looks like this. Oh, it looks like that. Oh, it needs this. Oh, it needs that. Folks, it's the first run, okay? It's the first run. Be a little bit patient with it, okay? It's not going to be perfect the first time, and anybody that thinks that it's going to be perfect the first time is out of their damn mind. You are. I mean, I don't like saying that, but if you think that perfection, it's going to be first swing, hit, out of the park, unfortunately, no, it doesn't work that way. The first iteration of anything is your baseline. As we had nothing to compare Apple's wearable to, and nothing to compare Motorola's wearable to, we didn't really have a baseline yet. The LG G Watch, their second iteration was the G Watch R, a little bit of a step up. Now, Samsung, despite what everybody says, their first entrance into this realm with the wearables, good thing, bad thing, kind of so-so. With their latest set of iterations that came out, I am not impressed, okay? Tizen, see previous rant concerning TouchWiz, okay? Just understand, the Samsung camp I am no longer as impressed with as I was at one time. I'm not, sorry. TouchWiz doesn't do it for me. Tizen, no interest. Put it right up there with the Fire OS. It's one of those things where root it, rum it, put something else on it. Move on, okay? It's a competition of the fittest right now. Apple versus Samsung. What's going to be better? What's going to be bigger? What's going to be taller? What's going to be sharper? The device that Samsung released a couple weeks ago, the Samsung Gear S, despite the fact that it's a phone on your wrist, too big. I mean, if you've got a dainty, petite wrist, you know, super slim, slender, whatever, this is going to look stupid on your wrist. I mean, it's too big. Are we going to have Dick Tracy watches eventually in the future? If Bluetooth technology improves and mobile technology continues to improve like it is with Moore's Law, that could be a possibility. As it stands right now, though, good luck to Samsung, okay? I got to give credit to them because they're throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks. Some of the stuff looks good. Some of it doesn't. I don't know. Number one, number two, Samsung versus Apple. There was a story that came out earlier this week, and I forgot to bookmark it. I read it. Apple is scared of Samsung. Why? Because Samsung is pushing out all this stuff. And people know half of what Samsung puts out is going to be crap. But they're still putting it out. Apple, unfortunately, has a reputation at this point in time to where they have to put out stuff that works. I mean, yeah. After my own reviews of the new iPhones, I considered for a little bit switching to iPhone a little bit. Didn't get too awful far with it, but I did consider it. Am I actually going to? I doubt it. I mean, I really do. Advancements in Apple Pay, different things going on. You know, is there going to be advancements in technology? Of course there is. Is there going to be changes in, as things move forward? Are we going to get what we need, what we want, what we hope, what we desire? Yes, we are. Okay? Yes, we are. The whole thing comes down to what is going to work. First iteration, it's going to be wanting every time. You can see it all through the cycle of wearables. Pebble, problems. Samsung with their first iteration. Yeah, sure, people, the Galaxy Gear, that's what it was. And then Android Wear came out, first iteration there. Apple Watch came out, first iteration there. Okay, now we've got our baseline, okay? All the major players have a wearable on the market. All of them, all the way from Pebble to Apple. Boom, they're all there. Anybody else that comes out, yeah, we'll be able to compare it to something from there, okay? More iterations of the LG. If Asus comes out with one like they're rumored, all right? Amazon even, who knows? They're all going to come out with an iteration that we can compare to a baseline that's out there right now. Samsung, Motorola, Apple, Pebble. Everybody's got their baseline out, and now we can progress forward. Now, if we get something else, we can either go, okay, that was an improvement. No, that sucked. Yeah, that was a step up. No, that was a step down. Yes, that was good. No, that was bad. It gives us a place to go. It gives us a place to move. All right? We have that baseline now. So let's move forward. Let's be done pissing on all the wearables. Good thing, bad thing, ugly thing. Mr. Old School's excited about it. I'm excited over it. Obi-Wan Jabroni looks like he's going to be keeping an eye on it with interest. Plenty of people that are out there keeping an eye on things with interest. Okay? So let's move forward. Galaxy Note 4 release was 19 September, for those that are interested. I'm not. Sorry. I'm out of the Samsung camp. I got my Note 2. I'm happy with that. Probably going to be moving on to the next Nexus iteration once that actually hits, and then move forward from there. Google came out and they announced auto encryption end-to-end. This goes above and beyond the two-factor authentication. This is something going against what FCC Wheeler came out and cited as more of a privacy thing. And here's where it's getting a little sticky. Many people, and it's kind of funny, the more people you come in contact with and the more people you talk to and the more people that you have discussions with concerning Big Brother and spying and privacy and things of that nature, you always have somebody out there that thinks they're overeducated in the subject matter. They think that they're a subject matter expert. And I look at that and I give everybody a benefit of the doubt. Okay. Personally, I've said just because the words come out of my mouth doesn't mean that it's necessarily correct, which is true. Just because the words do come out of my mouth does not mean that it's correct. However, flip side, everybody is entitled to an opinion. Privacy, I still claim privacy on the internet is a paradox. Plain and simple, folks. Privacy on the internet is a paradox. You want to have privacy? Get off the internet, okay? Get yourself a landline phone. Disconnect your computers. No Netflix. No Hulu. No online streaming. No online gaming, okay? Anybody, and I'm not just talking about the NSA or Big Brother or anybody like that. Anybody who wants to get in your crap, if they want to, they can. So therefore, it's up to the providers, Google, Motorola, Samsung, all those guys out there, to put together and come up with ways to keep their people safe. And then it is up to you to make an educated decision based on the information that's available to get things better. Now, PC World produced a story earlier this week, 4 reasons I switched from Google to Bing. Mr. Old School, I picked this story out just for you. The writer, Mark Hatchman, came out citing, quote, 3 weeks ago, I switched from Google to Bing. There. No longer do I Google something, I Bing it. And I haven't looked back since. The article goes on, citing, quote, search for cash with Bing rewards. The writer says, I'm cheap. I'll generally pass up a $12 beef slider on food trucks near my office in favor of a less expensive salad that could stuff a throw pillow. He uses coupons. He likes the Microsoft coupons and the Microsoft deals that are involved. Bing Rewards is one of the best things that he found able to use. Item number 2, search quality is good or better than Google's. Now, once again, folks, remember, this is an opinion piece. All right? He believes that search is better, citing, quote, I wouldn't even mention Bing Rewards if Bing itself wasted your time, but it doesn't. My personal belief is that Bing delivers slightly more useful information than Google in general search. Don't worry, using Bing still means that you can use other Google services like Gmail as often as you like. Number three, pictures in Bing. Yes, pictures. That goes for image searches too. Bing was first to implement the infinite scroll on pictures, which, yes, you can go on and on and on and on and on and on with Bing searches. And item number four, Bing does better when it comes to videos. I mean, plain and simple. And once again, remember, it's an opinion piece, but it is out there. There are people that are switching back and forth. Google to Bing, Bing to Google, Microsoft to Android, Android to iOS, and back to Microsoft again. Okay? More information coming out as BlackBerry does have an event coming up later on this week. I do have some information and some pieces concerning the passport. I'll get into that next week as I am getting into my hour. And look, folks, just remember, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check us out. Old School at the Movies, Spanish Announce Table, Tunes, Trending Mobile Technology. I'm getting another panel together for Game Face, as well as Mr. Old School and his eclectic taste when it comes to pop culture. Just come on out. Check in every day. Why? Because you never know what is going to be trending next. From all of us to all of you on the mobile scene, I am Piper the DJ, taking a bite out of the mobile space. Good night.